Our first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 45th chapter. We begin reading at verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hoards in secret places. You may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, call you by your name, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen. I call you by your name, I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the first chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. They themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and we begin reading at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. You do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said it to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled. They left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text for today is based on the gospel lesson we read earlier. Words that I don't think we appreciate enough as being a unique idea. Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's." This is our text. I don't know, does it seem to you like this particular political season is a little bit nastier than those in the past? I mean, if you believe what you're hearing, the population of the United States will dramatically decrease if one particular candidate is elected, because a bunch of people are going to leave the country. And then if the other guy is elected, we hear that maybe they're going to burn the whole place down. Wow. That's a little on the intense side, is it not? Christians and government. That was the subject of our gospel lesson for today. And in understanding Jesus' words as they might apply to our context today, it's useful to understand the world then. If you were listening closely to the Old Testament lesson for today, it was pretty point blank in the idea that there is only one God, ruler of heaven and earth. That actually was a unique idea in human history. But it's one that the Jews, particularly in the time of Jesus, were quite radical in believing. They weren't always so strict when it came to protecting that idea that there was one God. Because of that, they were carted off to Babylon for about 70 years. And then they came back a repentant people. They put away their false gods that they had allowed so many times in their nation's history. They dedicated themselves to just worshiping the one God, the maker of heaven and earth. But now they were living under a foreign power, Rome. Caesar claimed godhood for himself. And he was a pretty corrupt fellow, if you know your history at all. At least if you compare his life to the kind of life that God commands us to live in Scripture. The Pharisees thought they had Jesus trapped when they came to him and asked, "Is it right to pay taxes to this corrupt ruler who claimed godhood for himself?" If Jesus said no, well, then they could accuse him of being a revolutionary. And the Romans would probably come and arrest him. But if he said yes, well, then they could accuse him of not being faithful to God. How dare he want people to pay taxes to somebody who claims for himself to be a god? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. They were amazed at his answer. And for us as Christians, it's become a guiding principle in how we relate to government. Because we ourselves as Christians see ourselves on a different mission than the rest of the world. Throughout all of history, if you look at the relationship between gods and nations, every nation used to have its own god. And when one nation conquered another nation, it was presumed that, well, their god must be more powerful than our gods, therefore we will worship their god. That's the way it always was throughout all of human history. Gods were understood by the exercise of power through the implementation of whatever laws they wanted to govern people by. But in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus espouses a different relationship between peoples and gods. One that was really new to human history. And that's because of something else that is unique to Christianity and the understanding of our relationship to God. Many times throughout my ministry here, I've told you that one of the most unique, or not the most, the most unique aspect of Christianity is the idea that we are saved by grace, not by our works. Check out all the other religions of human history, and you'll find this to be true. We're not saved by our obedience to laws. Saved because God sent his only Son into this world to die on the cross for all the laws that we have broken and to give us righteousness not based upon what we've done, but based on his mercy, his grace to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is not really out for your obedience. Although when grace enters into our heart and into our thoughts, that's what we do. But not because we are forced to do it, not because we are compelled to do it, but because God changes our hearts. We live guided by his mercy, his forgiveness, his hope. And so in terms of relationship to other peoples, the mission that we are on as Christians is not to gain the world's obedience, to gain the world's hearts, which is done by the preaching and the witnessing to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the fact that God wants our hearts that then changes our understanding of our relationship to governments. God isn't, in one sense, on the side of any particular government. even ours in the United States. Though many of our principles that designed our unique form of government come from a right understanding of the Christian God. So Christians, and particularly throughout the first 3 or 4 centuries of Christianity's existence on earth, were not to change who governed them and to implement their laws upon society, but actually did change the world and ultimately even changed the government by witnessing to the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not out so much to change the law, but out to change the human heart. That's why God sent his Son of Jesus Christ into this world, not to set up a new government on earth, but to become obedient to the powers that be, even unto death, even death on a cross. Not to change the existing government, change the human heart. And that is the mission that God has put us on as well as we live out our lives in this world. Come November, somebody's going to get elected, I think. Unless they keep counting till Christmas. And who knows what leader is going to be governing us come Inauguration Day in January. But for us as Christians, in one sense, it doesn't matter. Yes, we want our values, our morals, to be the way that people live in the world. But no matter what government exists, even if some foreign government should come in and take over our nation, our duty will still be the same: to live as God's people in this world, to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but to give our hearts wholly and completely to God, and to make it our mission in this world to change other hearts. Not through power, not through rights, not by burning it all down, or just running away and going and hiding ourselves in some cave, but through the preaching of the good news we have in Christ Jesus, preaching of forgiveness and an eternal hope, bought not by our own doings, but through the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.